are almost at hour number 103. The gentleman who does all of the behind-the-scenes work for this, building the rink and now building this spectacular viewing area and the dress room. I got a quick tour of it, 40 stalls. Brent, I played in this 10 years ago, and I thought it was pretty spectacular then. Man, that seems like nothing compared to this. This is phenomenal.
You'd probably do better because you actually look in better shape now than you were 10 years ago. Not married, child. Not doing all the things.
I do remember 2005, and the thing that I hated the most when it was over was I had to go home, and suddenly I didn't walk into my kitchen, and there wasn't food prepared. For as a bachelor, that was the best part about it. I would get off the ice, you walk into the room, and there was like six Ukrainian grandmothers in the kitchen, and they would make you anything you wanted. That was the best part about it.
That's so beautiful. That's my favorite time is actually around 11 o'clock till 6 in the morning if you get on that shift where you can just go in the kitchen. It's quiet, and especially if you're on the swing shift, it's just you and a couple of babas. They sit down, and some of them I know, some of them I don't. And then they'll start speaking Ukrainian. They know I'm Ukrainian, but I don't speak very well Ukrainian.
Or English.
Or English, yeah. Sorry, that gooder grammar. But it's a special time because I try to get their story and why they're here, and it's pretty amazing to see people do that.
How many volunteers?
900.
900 volunteers for this.
Yeah.
That includes referees?
Including referees, okay. Yeah, scorekeepers, everybody. Yeah.
And how many Zamboni drivers?
Good ones. there's seven that I can think of right now. Zamboni and Uncle Don there being the head of the crew.
Yeah, and like those guys are, like they work the Zamboni like 12-hour shifts all the time because the Zamboni pretty much runs every hour.
Yeah, every 60 minutes you have 10 minutes to flood.
Okay.
We have a celebrity Zamboni driver this year, Gord Hines.
Really?
Yeah, so he was over the last few weeks.
And, nice.
He taught him how to drive the Zamboni, so he works the late shifts, and then he leaves around 11 o'clock, works out at the gym, goes to bed, comes back here again, and works from, I think it's 11 at night till 8 in the morning or something like that.
Good for him. Yeah. Of course, former Eskimo CFL player, so giving back to the community. Give us an update. I know one of your line mates, Nilsson, was complaining about his feet. Is he hurting that bad?
Well, I think he complains about it because he touches it too much. The amount of time, the duct tape on that feet, I've never seen anything like that. Every toe he duct tapes, the heel he's duct taping, the sides up the back.
That duct tapes are like, no one really duct tape when I played.
It is. The
Does
way
it make
go,
a difference?
Yeah. As
that's one of the new tricks.
The questions asked, what have you done better and to try and improve things? And I honestly don't remember who invented the duct tape to prevent blisters, but if you tape your feet properly, it 100% makes it better to not get blisters, because that's the worst. It's blister is a annoying little thing, but when you got to put it back onto a skate and you got to go for 6 hours, it turns into beyond annoying.
Well, I know, and you were telling me the story, a guy, and a lot of people, like, it's tough for a lot of guys here. You know, the pace of the game itself is more of a mental pace than anything else. But one of the guys was getting his toenail drilled off just during the flood here.
Yeah, Larry Steele. I didn't realize. I went in and take a peek, and it was disgusting. But what they'll do is, it was so swollen.
And you have doctors doing this. It's not just random teammates, is it?
No. Neighbor grabbed some pliers there, Kurt, and I'm kidding. Oh. Yes, it's a doctor.
Wouldn't surprise me with you. So the doctor's down there. Because I remember last time, sometimes they drill a hole in the nail just to release some of the pressure. But that didn't work, so they had to tear it off.
Yeah, so...
Any freezing?
I would hope so. But Larry's a tough codger. He was a big part of this game many, many years. And we're wearing a patch for his son, Patrick had passed away a couple years ago, played in the Dub. And Sammy now is playing in the Dub there in Regina. So it was pretty. So.
Oh, that's Mr. Steele,
yeah.
Sam's dad.
Mr. Steele.
Oh, okay. Well, I know him because, of course, his son and my nephew played against one another
for many years.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't. Oh, I'll have to go say hi to him. Good for him. Yeah. Talk about just, you know, the event and how it's gotten big. Your goal, the pretty lofty goal this year of $2 million. You guys are around $350,000 right now on your way. What's the best way for people to donate?
Best way is to. My favorite way would be if you came here and visited us. That would be my favorite way. On yesterday, this room upstairs here is about 3,000 square feet, and it was packed. You actually couldn't come up here. It was jam-packed to people. Outside, there's people in the stands, the fire pit, the food, everywhere's. That's my favorite way to come. Now, if you can't make it out here, albertacancer.ca, go to the website, and
they have a big thing that says Alberta's long.
Yeah, you'll be able to go
world's
to that.
Longest game.
And you know, my call out is a simple one this year. If and it's kind of an unfortunate one, but if everybody who ever has been touched by cancer that's listening right now, $5, that's unfortunately going to make lots of money. If everybody gave me just $5 for this thing, we hit $2 million easy. And what we're trying to do is make that harder and harder to raise, because it's a crazy thing that people have to go through. I've heard some awful stories in the last few days, but I've also heard a lot of good stories. And since the first game we played, I'm starting to hear more good stories, and that's really what we're doing this for.
Well, I know Jameson asked me on Friday when I was in Moose Jaw what I remembered most of when I played. And the memory that sticks out the most for me, and, you know, and I lucked out, the guys I got to play with were great. And I knew Karius, but I didn't know the other guys, and we had a lot of fun. But the most vivid moment was the Wednesday in the middle of the night. We had the overnight shift. It was the coldest night. It was like minus 26. It was 2 in the morning. We're all sitting on the bench, and no one's talking. We're all kind of grumpy, like, oh, Midway, this sucks. And all of a sudden, this guy comes across the ice, and we're like, what's this guy doing out here at 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, behind him, as he got to the bench, his son stood out kind of. He was walking behind him. We didn't see him. And then here's his son, and I'm like, who? At first, you know, you're grumpy. You're like, who lets their kid be out here at 2 in the morning? And I'll never forget it. He comes in the bench. He's all excited. Hey, guys, how's it going? And we're, oh, hey, how are you, man? And he's like, you know what? And he just got out of the Cross Cancer Institute.
I remember that story.
And his dad, he told his dad, I want to go see those guys play. And he came, and he had $40 of his own. And every guy on the bench is like, whew, eyes starting to well up. And I remember the next 2 hours just flew by. And, guys, it really kind of kick-started a lot of us because it was the middle of the week. And, you know, you see those little kids. And he was so excited about us playing. And I'm like, man, you have cancer. And he had beaten it. And he told us a story. He sat on the bench. We had him stay. He stayed there for an hour. So guys would come in, and whoever was not playing would talk to him. And he was just he was so excited and happy that we were there. And I remember thinking, like, this little kid's got more guts than all of us combined, and he thinks we're the heroes. It was amazing. That was my fondest memory of it, and I know that's why the guys play, and I'm sure there's those type of stories that happen this time.
It's already happened. I got a card from someone that was just sitting on my locker when I came. My last shift was started at 3 in the morning, and which hence the voice. I apologize. But
you've been on since 3 in the morning?
Then I had a two-hour break, and now I'm going for another 7 hours. But
that's fun, eh?
Yeah, it's fun. But I had this beautiful card. It was a card that said, sorry I couldn't make it out, et cetera, et cetera. But a member of my family is at the Cross Cancer right now and notified me that as he was going through radiation treatment, he looked up and saw the sign donated by the world's longest hockey game. And that's the last piece of equipment that we bought. And he wanted to write a card. He couldn't write very well.
Yeah.
Wanted to write a card just to give us some motivation and a thank you from what we bought from the last game.
What and that's awesome. What's the plan? What are you hoping to purchase this time?
Well, okay, we start with that machine. It's a pet. It's called a pet machine. But now it's a PET MR, which is crazy. Over the last 4 years, technology has escalated, which is awesome. But the PET MR basically is a piece of equipment that if you have to go through radiation treatment, it's incredibly localized and very non-invasive. So especially for elderly and children, the side effects go way down, because in the past, radiation, you would have to irradiate a very large area in order to just get the cancer. Now you can just irradiate the cancer. It localizes just to cancer cells. And that will change what cancer care is. It changes everything. And it's a rare machine. It's more than $2 million. But what happens with this fundraising is we raise $2 million. And I know I've heard many thoughts about that's something that the government should do or shouldn't do or whatever it is. But nobody has a perfect system. We have a pretty amazing system, and sometimes the system needs a little help. if we jumpstart it with $2 million, the next step is the government helps. The Alberta Cancer Foundation helps. Other programs help.
Okay.
All of a sudden, $2 million can turn into $10 million, and we get a machine.
Brent Saik, organizer of the world's longest hockey game. This is the fifth one. It started in 03. They had it in 05, 08, 11, and now in 2015. Goals to raise over $2 million. We're at $350,000 already, nearing hour number 103 of 250, which leads me to the question. Now, people will always break your record by like an hour or two. Have you thought about it saying, you know what, guys, let's vote, screw it. Let's just go from this and go to 300 and make it a real challenge.
That's what we thought when we did 240. But no, I don't want to do that. There's a beautiful bunch of people doing a similar project in Calgary.
Okay.
For a children's hospital, and I tip my hat to them. And so I talked to Alex a little bit, and we've been going back and forth. This money goes to the Alberta Cancer Foundation. It doesn't go to the Cross. It doesn't go to the Edmonton thing. And what we've been able to do now is, in talking with Alex, because he has plans again to do it in Calgary.
Okay.
Is to keep going back and forth and break it by, it could be a minute.
I mean, yeah. Did you challenge him to go outside yet?
No. I get asked that question, and honestly, I don't want
to. It's better to play outside, I think. I think they're missing something. With the lights out here, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool feeling at nighttime, especially when the moon or when the sun's coming up. Today was a great day. Nice sunny day out here and everything. But, this record's going to be broken by small increments. This building was built instead of a house for my family. So that was a commitment that we made. And for one reason, to never stop playing. It'll be our kids' game to play. So if we do 280 hours, my kids got to do two, like, I don't even know.
Right? Yeah. So you just go up a few at a time. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, so when you play it again in 3 or 4 years, you're not going to try, like, you don't have to build a new facility. The next one, it will be just that got to maintain the rink.
We still have building to do.
What are you going to build next?
I want a Ferris wheel.
In the wintertime?
Why not?
Oh, well, this would be a little chill. Well, kids, you know what? They would ride on it for sure.
Yeah. No, the next project is the world's longest baseball game, and I have the backfield where the campers are now leveled already.
Now, what's the current record for that, you know?
40 or 68 hours.
68 hours.
Yeah.
I wonder if baseball would be harder because the pitcher, like, your arm would just wear out. That would be the hardest part, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's one rule because each time you play a game like this, you have to follow the rules of the game.
Yes.
And the only rule that Guinness lets you in baseball is you can substitute the pitcher in and out. So basically, we have the schedule figured out where you play every position 1 through 9 and then come off for a few hours, play 1 through 9 and then come off. So it'll be fine. So the key really is...
Yeah, if you can get guys who can pitch.
That's the key, is to make sure whoever you get can at least throw a strike.
Yeah, that would be...
So I'm calling out to all those old Tigers I used to play with.
You baseball guys, there you go. Get your baseball. What's the ETA and when you plan on having that game?
The Diamond should be done this summer, and we'll probably play next summer.
So 2016?
Yep.
Wow. You know what? People would like... There wouldn't be the cold factor. There would just be maybe some rain.
Yeah.
Right, and you got to play through the rain. You can't stop.
You can't. The way I did the field, it's the drainage has basically weeping tile through it. So it'll drain in whatever kind of rain we get. The exact same size as the best team ever built in the history of baseball, which would be the original Yankees.
So you have the dimensions to old Yankee Stadium.
The original Yankee Stadium. And I also have the sod.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Trying to get that sod, and it was Zambari that did it for me because he works at a golf course. It was, he said, you could probably take gold from Fort Knox before you could find, because they hold that pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
But he found a way to find Yankee Stadium sod.
Well, I know Mark Majot, my producer, is a huge Yankee fan. So, Majot, you might have to start warming up, practicing your pitching. So,
I'll be down there.
Play.
Well, my question is, will Struds be playing in the world's longest baseball game?
Based on his baseball skills, I would say no. But You never know. Maybe he can improve. Well, he definitely can improve on it. That's for sure. So a little bit of practice. I'm sure we got a lot of listeners that might be jazzed up for that one. Because now in baseball, because in hockey you have 20 guys in a team. Baseball,
same thing.
Is it 20 or 25?
20.
20.
Yeah.
But you rotate. Man, that's a lot of guys that are playing. You got to play for more. Like you got more guys in the field for longer stretches of time.
Yeah. Baseball will be interesting because the number of players that you need at the time. But you'll have to play longer. Again, it's maybe not as grueling when you're out in the field because you're just standing there.
Yeah, you're just out there. You know, you're less Nesman out in the in right field. Just picking dandelions.
Yeah. I know for some of the guys, I might have to have a tap on right center wall or something like that. But
that would make a lot of sense. Once again, albertacancer.ca. You can go and donate there. Brent said, of course, is number one way. He'd love it if you show up here. And if everybody who's out there listening has been impacted by cancer, donates $5, they'll reach their goal. It'll be that easy. So you know what, stop in teams, coaches, bring your teams out. I know the players love seeing the kids who get fired up and they have cheering sections, different things. Schools, I know usually the school buses start coming in during the week. I think that's tomorrow, correct?
We had two today already.
Did you have two today?
Okay. Team and, my daughter's school, and so that was great to see. That's amazing. If we could have a school bus coming down every hour, it'd be unbelievable because when you're skating, all you hear is this screaming and yelling. The kids are going crazy and get them some hot chocolate. And that's an awesome, awesome
time. Well, I know you guys burn a lot of calories. I text my buddy Eddie from Papa John's when I was on the way out here, and he showed up, I know, and something tells me that it'll all be gone by the time you get off, so hopefully they saved you a piece. Brent, obviously a great job. I know everybody out there listening who's been impacted by cancer really appreciates your effort to organize this, and then all the guys and 900 volunteers who help out to make this just one of Canada's greatest events every few years. I'm very happy to be a part in the past, and you know what, maybe sometime in the future I'll try it out again, man. Always good to see you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. For coming here and doing this and supporting it.
We love it.
It helps us.
I know, that's great. And Nilsson, how many goals has he scored yet? Has he scored a few?
I'm on his line and I haven't.
Wow. We're going to have to call him on. Oh, come on, Nilly. Go top shelf. Maybe we'll do a little play-by-play when he gets on the ice for his next shift. All right, Brent, continued success. And everybody out there listening, feel free to come in. Just go straight east on Y Road. There's the big SO station. It's Range Road 220. You can't miss it. It's easy to see, and take a right, and then it's basically a mile down. There's signs, there's park, and it's organized incredibly well. And don't worry about being cold, because you come inside where I am, we're soft, we get to hang out indoors, so feel free to do that.